Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavala Bha Giravadhari Jai Gopi Janavala Bha Giravadhari Yashodanandana Bhajajanarandana Yashodanandana Bhajajanarandana Yamunathiravanachari Yamunathiravanachari Yavadhanavava Kunjabihari Yavadhanavava Kunjabihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Mustafa Paramahansa Pradikaya Chaya Stotheta Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Vishnupada Paramahansa Pradikacharya Ashtotheta Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai Anam Nikoti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivindi Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Narayana Namaskritya Narancha Vimarotanam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta Pravesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Pittama Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil. And loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Uh-oh. this 26th day of April, 2012, in Alachua, Florida. We were reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Text number 10. I'll read the synonyms first. I'll just read it myself. You can read along on the screen. Sri Nanda Uvacha, Nanda Maharaj said to Gargamuni, Alakshitaha, without comes his knowledge. Asmin, in this cowshed. Rahasi, Rahasi, in a very solitary place. Mamakai, even by my relatives. Api, a still more secluded place. Govrajay, in the cowshed. Kuru, just execute. Vijati, Sankskaram, the purificatory process of second birth of Sankskara Babedvija. Swasti Vachana Purvakam, by chanting the Vedic hymns to perform the purificatory process. Sri Nanda Vacha. Alakshitosmin Rahasi. Mamakar Abhigovraje. Kuru Vijati Sanskaram. Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Alakshitosmin Vahasi. Mamakar Apigovraje. Kudu Vijati Sanskaram. Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Alakshitosmin Vahasi. Mamakar Apigovraje. Kurubhijati Sanskaram. Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Alakshitosmin Rahasi. Mamakar Apigovraje. Kurubhijati Sanskaram. Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Alakshitosmin Rahasi. Mamakar Apigovraje. Vijati Sanskaram. Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Ladies. Alakshitosmin Rahasi. Mamakar Apigovraje. Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Alakshitosmin Rahasi. Mamakar Apigovraje. Kuru Vijati Sanskaram. Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Sri Nanda Vacha. Alakshitosmin Rahasi. Karapi Govraje. Kuru Vijati Sanskaram. Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Translation. Nanda Maharaj said, my dear great sage, he's addressing Gargamuni, my dear great sage, if you think that your performing this process of purification will make Kamsa suspicious, then secretly chant the Vedic hymns and perform the purifying process of second birth here in a cowshed of my house, without the knowledge of anyone else, even my relatives, for this process of purification is essential. Purport. Nanda Maharaj did not like the idea of avoiding the purificatory process. Despite the many obstacles, he wanted to take advantage of Gargamuni's presence and do what was needed. The purificatory process is essential specifically for Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Therefore, since Nanda Maharaj presented himself as a Vaishya, this process of purification was essential. Formerly, such institutional activities were compulsory. Chapter Vanyam Maya Srishtam
Gunakarma Vibhagashaha, Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Without these activities of purification, the society would be considered a society of animals. To take advantage of Garga Muni's presence, Nanda Maharaj wanted to perform the Nam Karana ceremonies, even secretly, without any gorgeous arrangements. Therefore, the opportunity for purification should be regarded as the essential duty of human society. In Kali Yuga, however, people have forgotten the essence. Nanda Samanda Matajo Nanda Bhagya Yupadrutaha. Bhagavatam 1.1.10. In this age, people are all bad and unfortunate, and they do not accept Vedic instructions to make their life successful. Nanda Maharaj, however, did not want to neglect anything. To keep intact a happy society advanced in spiritual knowledge, he took full advantage of Garga Muni's presence to do what was necessary. How degraded society has become within 5,000 years. Nanda Sumanda Matayo Nanda Bhagya. The human life is obtained after many, many millions of births, and it is intended for purification. Previously, a father was eager to give all kinds of help to elevate his children, but at present, because of being misguided, people are prepared even to kill to avoid the responsibility of raising children. Om Jnanatamarandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmiratamena Tasmai Shri Gadave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So we have a little argument here. Garga Muni has arrived, and of course he wants to perform this ceremony that's explained in the Krishna book. But there's a problem, because Garga Muni is known as the priest of the Yadu dynasty. And so, as he explained in texts 8 and 9, if he performs this ceremony, then it will be fairly obvious that both of these sons, Krishna and Balaram, are sons of Devaki and Vasudeva, who are members of the Yadu dynasty. But Nanda Maharaj is giving the counter-argument here that, well, it's essential that this purificatory process take place, and therefore let's do it secretly. We'll do it secretly so no one knows, even my relatives, just myself, you, and the two boys, basically. And because the process of samskara, there are many different kinds of samskaras, he's saying this is essential for a successful life. And Srila Prabhupada begins to explain that. Now, and this one sentence kind of jumped out at me, therefore the opportunity for purification should be regarded as the essential duty of human society. Now, this is completely unknown in today's world. And therefore Prabhupada quotes this verse from the first canto, Nanda Samanda Matya Manda Bhagya Yupadrita, describing some of the qualities of this age, and the people of this age. First of all, we don't live very long. So even if one wants to practice some kind of a yogic, some yogic principles for elevation, there's no time. There's no time for Ashtanga yoga. There's no time for any extended process like they could do in previous ages. Satya yuga, people lived 100,000 years. Treta yuga, 10,000 years. And even in the Dwapara yuga, they lived for 1,000 years. And now we can hardly even live 100 years. So that's, we can't have any, if we're going to engage in some kind of yogic process, it has to be very powerful and fast-acting. But beyond that, he just, it's described, manda. Manda means lazy in the matter of self-realization. Most people are so much immersed in ignorance and darkness, they have no idea that it's even necessary in human life to strive for self-realization. A proverb mentions a verse at the end here. He doesn't quote the Sanskrit, but one should be dear, one should consider that we have attained this human form of life after many, many millions of other births. It's a very rare opportunity, because in this life form, it's like all other life forms, it's temporary, it's going to perish one day, but uniquely it is artha brahm, means that it can give the ultimate goal, the swartha, or the real ultimate goal of the soul, the need of the soul. Whereas the other forms, dogs and cats, etc., they even if they wander into the Bhagavatam class, they're not going to benefit from it. So, therefore, one has to be the urgency of trying to strive for the ultimate good, which is purification. This theme here is purification. Purification of the soul and achieving the ultimate good of liberation from the bonds of birth and death, returning to the spiritual world where there's no inebrieties, as Prabhupada said so wonderfully. So, Madhurya Manda, so we're very lazy in the matter of self-realization. So, Manda Matayo. So, Manda Matayo means misguided. Misguided. So, suppose a certain number of people, because it's an inevitable desire of the soul to seek some spiritual advancement. Intuitively, we know that just ordinary material life is not fulfilling. And so in every society, there's some idea, almost every society, at least among a certain portion of the population, that there has to be something else. And so we have all kinds of religions and processes, things that people get into, without reference to the Vedas, but they're misguided. If you desire, then chances are you'll come in touch with some bogus yogis or some nonsense that has no relationship to the real source of knowledge, which are the revealed scriptures. As Rupa Goswami quotes, Ashruti Smriti Padanari Pancharatra Badhinvina Aikantaki Hare Bhakti Upatayaka Kalpate. That so-called Hari Bhakti, or so-called religion in general, that has no reference to the Shrutis, the Vedas, the Smriti, the books like Bhagavad Gita, the Puranas like Bhagavatam, the Pancharatra, Narada Pancharatra, is simply a disturbance in society. So this is another disqualification of this age, is that, first of all, most people aren't interested. You know, self-realization, what's that? You know, they're just completely immersed in the bodily concept of life. But those few who are, chances are they'll be misguided. And so, the unfortunate, manda bhagya. And because of all of this, upadratara, they're constantly disturbed. The mind is always disturbed. In order to practice any form of yoga, self-realization, one has to have a calm atmosphere and a calm mind. This is practically unheard of in today's world. So this is the problem. But that doesn't negate the necessity of purification. Now, those who have been fortunate enough to come in contact with the Society of Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada founded, his books, the devotees, can at least understand the importance and see the means for purification. And in this age, it's been made much easier. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya in order to give a process suitable for the unfortunate, misguided, lazy people of this age. Namely, the chanting of the holy names, the Sankirtan. There's no restriction. Purusharya. There's no need for purification or any process before chanting Hare Krishna. That itself is the purificatory process. Anyone from any station in life or any situation can begin chanting and experience the benefits. So I wanted to focus on this theme of purification since it's being emphasized here. Not so much through the samskaras, we've heard something about that, those are important, but more important is the essential process of purification through hearing the transcendental sounds, beginning with the holy name. And there are so many wonderful verses about that, beginning with the Shikshastika, the very first phrase, the first words of the Shikshastika about purification, Cheta Dalpana Marjanam. Right? The first idea in that wonderful verse, which has seven metaphors describing the benefits of chanting, is that by congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna, the consciousness, the mirror of the mind, becomes cleaned off. So one can begin to see oneself and experience gradually the presence of the Lord also in one's heart. So, Chaito Dapanamarjanam Bhava Mahadavagna Nirvapanam, and that purification continues and produces liberation from the fire of birth and death, and the all auspiciousness, knowledge expands. It's all a progressive purification. And then one is the ocean of bliss expands, and at every moment, at every step, one can taste the nectar for which we're anxious. So that's the first verse I was thinking of. It's very important. Right in the second chapter, first canto, this is described after the sages ask, what is real dharma? What is that dharma by which the soul can be satisfied? The problem is that in this dirty condition, under the modes of material nature, in which the heart is filled with all kinds of inauspicious things, lust, anger, greed, illusion, wrong philosophies, you know, called asad graha. A graha is a philosophy by which you understand yourself and the world. It's a word for a philosophy. A world outlook. Everyone has it. But these are all asad graha. These are illusory, temporary philosophies of life that keep one bound in this material world. So this is part of the dirt. This is part of the covering in the heart that prevents us from seeing who we are or who Krishna is or who God is. So the sages wanted to know, the sages Namasharana, what is that dharma, what is that process by which the soul can actually be fully satisfied eternally? And of course the answer is Savatpungsang Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Hokchaje. Ahoituke Pata Yata Yatma Supasiditi, that the soul can be fully satisfied only by that practice which awakens bhakti for Krishna, the invisible one, the transcendental Lord. But such bhakti or devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. This very this combination comes up again and again in the Bhagavatam. It has to be free of any material motivation. That material motivation is part of the dirt that needs to be cleansed. Because it means that it's based on the bodily concept of life, the separatist mentality, that we're separate from God. We have a separate interest from Krishna. And if you're immersed in that enough, you completely forget about Krishna. And you're simply immersed in the false ego, which is the bodily concept, the mental concept, and it expands to those like you, and so we have so much race consciousness, national consciousness. You know, this is the mentality of the cows and the donkeys. Golkara. What is it? What is it? Yeah, I know, Golkara, but the phrase in that verse. Boma Ijidi. Boma Ijidi means of thinking worshipable, the place where you're born. Just see what's going on in this world, in the Middle East. You have one little country, you know, and this is our Burma, and they're ready to destroy the whole world just to keep that little Burma. And if you're not born there, or if you're not of the same race or the same religion, then, you know, you're persecuted. This is going on all over the world. Whereas Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada was very happy to point out, all kinds of nationalities, races, ages, genders, you know, everybody's welcome. It's the true United Nations. Why? Because it's not based on the body. It's not the bodily concept of life. Where you're born doesn't matter, where you know what language you speak, all of it. So the soul can be happy only with that unmotivated, uninterrupted service to Adhokshaja, Krishna. And then he goes on explaining how ultimately it depends on getting a taste for Krishna Katha. Right? If you think about it, the verses as it's described, one should mold one's life in such a way that he lives very simply and the life is engaged in understanding the absolute truth. Kamasan indriya pritir. The life is not meant for sense gratification. Jiva labhata jivada. Simply, try to live as simply as possible. So then what should we do? Jivasa tatradigyasa. Life is meant for this inquiry into the absolute truth. Nothing else. And what is that? Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan, right? So one can understand that by this Bhagavan, this absolute truth, by faithful practice of bhakti yoga according to the Shruti, right? Tachchadana Muni Yoga Jnana Vairagya Yukti. But it has to be characterized by development of knowledge of the Shastra and detachment from material things. So ultimately he says, okay, therefore, tasmat ekena manasa, the great sages, they those who are intelligent, they practice one point of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping like that. And by doing that, you attain remembrance. The key is to come to the point of constant remembrance of Krishna. It's a yoga process. To always remember Krishna and never forget him. That is the ultimate purifying process, is thinking of Krishna, of remembering Krishna. And the best way to do it is to constantly, as far as possible, hear and chant. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Right? So, with that sort of remembrance, Yamanunyasanayuta, Karma Gunti Nabandhanam, Chindanti, one can cut off the bonds of the karma. We all have our natures that we have now, our conditioned nature, is caused by all kinds of fruit of acts that we performed in previous lives. But that's not set in stone. It's constantly in flux. It can be purified by the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So therefore he calls it a yadanudyasina, a sword of remembrance. Wonderful purport there, Prabhupada talks about it. So who would not be attracted? What a fool would not be attracted to hear about Krishna? You know, karma gunti nabandhan chindandi kovidastasya kona kuya kataratim. Who, with a little intelligence, would not be attracted to try to hear about Krishna and gain that sort of remembrance? So then the question comes, well, how do we get an attraction for hearing about Krishna? It's so important. And that's described, and this is a key verse, Shushu Shoshadhana Sivasadeva Kataruchi, Syam Mahatsevyavipra Punditiyatana Shevana. That by service to the Guru, the spiritual master, who is a tirtha. Tirtha is a very interesting word in a place of pilgrimage. But tirtha also means like a bridge over water, a place where you cross over. So the spiritual master provides the bridge or the medium representative of the Lord. He's too great and invisible, we can't see, but he sends his representative to provide us a medium by which we can contact and serve Krishna through the spiritual master. So, by service to the pure devotee, one attains the affinity for the sounds, transcendental sound of Krishna's name and form and everything else. So that's called shushusho. That's a very key word. It means submissive oral reception. This is what Prabhupada did. Is this ability to just hear and be attracted to Krishna's katha, you know. This is a symptom of actually pure devotee. When the mind, as soon as it hears the holy name or description of Krishna, immediately runs to that, just like the Ganges flowing into the sea. It's described by Kapila Muni. You know, this is a great symptom. You know, it's a sign of purity. So then comes the verse about purification through hearing. Krishna's in the heart, right? Shungatam sukata Krishna punya shravana ketana kridyantaksto yabadradi vidunoti sudhitsatam. The subject, as Prabhupada says in one lecture, of this sentence is Krishna. And the verb is vidunoti. He's clinging. He's in the heart. He's the best friend of all the devotees, sincere devotees. The Sukata Krishna, he hears, oh, you're hearing about me? Punya Shravana Kirtana, hearing the sound about Krishna, which is brings piety just by being heard and chanted. Punya Shravana Kirtana. So Krishna cleans away. And then the last five verses of this series, very important section in the second chapter, describe the progressive purification and experience of the devotee who constantly hears and chants. So then that verse that I adopt for every Bhagavatam class, Nashtapaya Shababrishu, that because Prabhupada has in there, by regular attendance and classes on Srimad Bhagavatam, that's what he actually wrote in his original Bhagavatams, and that's what's in the Bhagavatam now. That's what he said. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. There's two Bhagavats, right? We serve the Bhagavatam by hearing, studying, thinking about, and putting into practice the instructions of Bhagavatam, and we serve the Mahabhagavat, devotee, by also serving him and propagating the mission of Krishna consciousness. So in that way, everything inauspicious, now these are dirty things in the heart. These are bhadras, as described in the previous verse, same words used. It is a cleansing. Vidunoti means literally to cleanse away. You see, by the sound vibration. But it's almost all to nil, and one comes to the point of nishta, Nishta is the same point that Rupa Goswami talks about in his ladder from faith to love. Ara shabha tatak saru sangha tapadana kriya tato anartinivrisisa tato nishta. Nishta is this really firm faith that Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, the way to achieve him is through bhakti yoga. I don't want to do anything else. That's the definition of faith according to Krishna's Kaviraj. There's no need to do anything else but bhakti yoga. Everything will be taken care of. Krishna will provide everything I need. That's real faith. So that comes after a nivritti through this process of hearing and chanting. And he goes on, describes progressive realization to the point of actually seeing the Lord within the heart, which means all of the knots, you know, caused by fruit of action, karmic knots, cut asunder. All one's doubts are destroyed, and all one's karma is eliminated by that process of seeing. And it begins with hearing and chanting, the taste of which is attained through faithful service to the Guru and the Bhagavatam. So that's purification. Now there's another, I wanted to share another section of purification. And I just read this morning. It's interesting because how did the Bhagavatam come to be written? Remember that chapter 5 in the first canto, how Vyasadeva had written all these other literatures. He'd written the Upanishads, he'd written the Bhagavad Gita, he'd even written the Vedanta Sutra and all these other Puranas, and something wasn't right. He felt, maybe I missed something. Remember? And so Narada Muni comes in his distress and tells him, he suspected this, but he said, yes, you haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his devotional service, his avatars and his devotees, without any bridge preaching, you know, no watering down the message, because he was afraid, oh, people won't accept that right away, so he put, you know, in the, there's Krishna, but it's not as straightforward as in the Bhagavatam. So in those instructions of Narada to Vyas, which culminates in Vyasadeva meditating and getting inspired to write the Bhagavatam, there are three verses which are repeated in the 12th canto. And Vishwanath Chakravarti says that the whole Bhagavatam is kind of bookended, you know. It's the fact that these three verses are repeated. Any verse that's repeated is important. There's one verse repeated five times. Did I talk about this last time I was here? There's one verse that appears five times in the Bhagavatam. I'll share it with you in a few minutes if you like. But these verses, these are big verses, and they're all about hearing and chanting. The three verses to be in Narada's instructions, and the last instructions of Sutta Goswami when he's before he gets up and leaves the assembly is part of this what I call the Krishna Katashtaka. The eight verses that are describing the wonders of Krishna Katha. So I'll share some of those with you now because it's all about purification and that's what the theme is here. So he says then, and it's wonderful, he begins his instruction here, and it's Krishna Katashtaka, with the word Sankirtan. Right in the Bhagavatam. Sankirtanano Bhagavan Ananta Sudana Bhavo Vasanangi Pungsan Pavishyachittam Vidanotyashesham Hyatata Moko Bhumivati Vataha. So he says there that those who get together and glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Ananta, the endless Supreme Personality of Godhead, unlimited. Or who hear his glories, they get together and chant and they hear Shutana Bhava, Vyasanam Upingsan. Now Vyasanam, there are the miseries that come from bad activities, karma. So we're all experiencing more or less that. So Vyasanam Upingsan. Pavishya Chittam, here it says he enters into the heart. In the second chapter, it says he's already there. We know he's already there, but he appears in the heart to us. Vidanoti carbon, the same word is used, vidanoti. Ashesham. Vidanoti ashesham means he cleanses away so that there's no remnants. In other words, completely cleanse. Just as the sun shining dissipates all the darkness, or a powerful wind will dissipate fog. So the analogy of the ignorance and the unwanted things are here the darkness or fog that we can't even see ourselves. So now in the next verse, he gives a contrast. Now he says, on the other hand, those words, because he's just speaking about Krishna Katha, those words that do not glorify the unlimited Lord are false and useless and contaminating. In the third canto, this is a wonderful verse. I think it's the prayers of Brahma for creative energy. He says, who doesn't go to Vaikuntha? You know, he's described Vaikuntha. Who doesn't go there? Yanna vadant agabadolatananavada chundvandiyeni vishayakukutama tigni. He says, those who take to other topics besides the topics of Agabidha, Krishna who destroys all sin. He says, and what is this kukata? This is kukata, which is matigni, which destroys one's intelligence. And those who are always absorbed in that, and look at, we live in the age of the internet, you know. Tower of Babel, so much. Kukata is flowing everywhere, right? So what's the result? He says, oh, it completely takes away all good fortune for these people. And it throws them down into hell with no shelter. Alas, the last word of this verse is hunta, alas. This is the result. So this is the choice we have to make. So but here he's talking about, it's inauspicious and it's false. Excuse me. So after giving that contrast, then he gives six lines of the wonders of Krishna Katha, which is unique in the Bhagavatam, as far as I can tell. Tadeva satyam, tadohaiva mangalam, tadeva punyam, bhagavad gunodayam, tadeva ramyam, ruchiram, nabang, nabang, tadeva shasvam, namaso mahotsavam, tadeva shokana vashoshananginam, hiruttama shloka yasho anugiyate. Now, first of all, the name he uses is not an accent. Uttama Shloka means Krishna who is glorified in the greatest transcendental verses, right? So they often use that when talking about glorification. So he says, but on the other hand, those words which do glorify Krishna are true. Tadeva Satyam, Bhagavan Punyam, they're pious. As I mentioned, just by hearing them you get piety. Mangalam, very auspicious. Bhagavad Ganodaya means that they awaken in us the qualities, the divine qualities that we can possess. You know, we have 50 qualities we share with Krishna, if you look at the 64. And the pure devotees, they manifest them to the greatest degree. So they awaken those divine qualities in us that we are eligible to possess. They're very delightful, ramyam, ruchiram, tasty, navang navang, ever fresh. Prabhupada pointed out, you can read Bhagavad Gita 8 times a day, you'll never get tired, always find new meaning. Tadeva shashram manaso mahotsavam, it is an eternal festival for the mind. And shokana vashoshananganang, and it dries up the ocean of lamentation for the people in general. This is the benefits of Krishna Katha. And then, so then he goes back again, back and forth. Nayad vichaschitta badang hare sho jagat pavitram paganita karachit. This is a verse some of you may recognize. This is one of the three verses I mentioned that bracket the Bhagavatam, Vishnu Chakravarti said. Very important. On the other hand, those words that do not glorify the unlimited Lord, although wonderfully composed, chitta padam, wonderful poetry, you know, the movies, they count, you know, karmic music, that counts as a chitta padam to some people. There's a tad-dvangsha-tirtam. It's a little different phrasing, the same idea. Dvangsha-tirtam is a pilgrimage for the crows. Matuhansa-sevatam. The swan-like devotees don't go there. They don't serve it. You're serving the sound vibration when you listen to it and you repeat it. They don't serve. Yatra-achyuta-stattva-hisadava-amala. That wherever achyuta, Krishna, is being glorified, that's where you'll find the pure amala devotees. And therefore, then another verse, Prabhupada chose it to put in his preface because it inspired him to write the Bhagavatam, even though he knew that his English wasn't, you know, Shakespeare. So he said, Tad Bhagavasago, Janabhaga Viplavo, Yasmin Pati Shlogam Abhadyabhati. On the other hand, those words, which do glorify the Lord and are meant to bring about a revolution in this world's misdirected civilization, even though every single verse is miscomposed, yes, the knowledgeable saintly devotees, they accept it, they hear, they chant like that. And then the third verse of the three, nice karma napichita bhava vajitam, that nice karma, this is dealing with impersonalism or some other yoga. There may be activity where you don't engage in karmic, a fruit of activity. Very austere, you're living in the cave, you're meditating, you know, you're not, that's called, it's a species of nice karma. But if it's devoid of any achyuta bhava, affection or consciousness of achyuta, Krishna, then it doesn't look very good. It's a nice karma, achyuta, nashobate, it doesn't look so nice. What to speak of any fruit of activity, you know, which may be perfectly done, but it's not offered to Krishna. You know, in other words, that's even more unbeautiful. So those three verses bracket it, and they're all about purification. Now that the Krishna Katashta goes on, I won't give you all the Sanskrit, just to summarize, that he says by great effort within materialistic varnashram, or any other kind of material activity, the best you can get is great fame and wealth. That goes for here or in the heavenly planets. You know, you get very great wealth, which includes control and power and fame, but all of it is temporary. But on the other hand, what you get if you what do you say, shutana bhava, I forget the Sanskrit, but if you dedicate yourself to bhakti centered on hearing and chanting, you'll eventually get the most valuable thing, avismati shirada pada padmayo, unbroken remembrance of the lotus feet of Krishna. And then the last verse, which I understood from reading a book by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that Bhakti Vikas Swami wrote. This is one of the verses quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it's about this unbroken remembrance. Avismati Krishna Badara Bindayo Chinutya Badhani Chashantanoti Sattvasya Shuddhim. Here we are back to purification. Sattvasya Shuddhim Padamatma Bhaktim Jnanam Cha Vijnana Varaga Yuktam. For by that unbroken remembrance, which begins with getting the taste for hearing and chanting, and following that, so you can always remember, all these benefits, Chinotya Bhadrani, again we're back to this, all of the abhadras, the unwanted things in the heart, are completely destroyed, and Shang Tanoti. The word Shang means welfare, good fortune, all that is good. That's why one of Shiva's names is Shankara. He does good. He does welfare for everybody. Shiva, it means auspicious. So Shang Tanoti. Then Sattvasya Shuddhim, back again to the purification of one's existence. And of course, Paramatma Bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Soul, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, characterized by Jnana, knowledge, and realized knowledge, Vijnana, and detachment from everything else, from everything material. So it all begins with Sankirtan. The first word of this series was Sankirtamana. So this is I lost track of time. This is well, purification, and back to Prabhupada's purport. Therefore, the opportunity for purification should be regarded as the essential duty of human society. And it's the essential process of this ISKCON society. It is all purification. And you have a great, great opportunity. These deities are just stunning every morning. All glories to the dressers and all glories to all of you who are supporting this temple and allowing this incredible darshan. I mean, I'm just bowled over when I walk into this temple any day, especially any day. it's always very enthralling. That's the only word for it. So take advantage, you know, the clock is ticking, you know, we all have a certain number of minutes, hours, seconds, and years, hopefully, left in these bodies to cultivate that taste for hearing and chanting, and chant in front of these deities and attain purification, which is synonymous, ultimate purification synonymous, really, with pure love for God. Because that's the natural state. When all the impurities are gone, what's left? Is our natural state, which is a prema, love for Krishna. I've gone a little over time. Any questions, comments on this? Some of these points? We have Ganga Narayan Prabhu.
This was a very good class and very well-needed class, so thank you very much. In the Jiva Dharma, the question has asked that if hearing and chanting are the primary functions of devotional service, why is it that a description of a neophyte is that they worship the deity with faith? So then the answer is given, because in neophyte devotees, the hearing and chanting assumes a secondary feature. In other words, they have no taste for it. So that's not the primary characteristic. So for all of us, he did mention that serving the great souls or the guru gives you a qualification to achieve this taste.
That's in the Bhagavatam.
But even though we're all serving, and I see so many devotees that are so nicely engaged in service, sometimes when you hear discussions, like during the Sunday feast, and they're not all exactly about Krishna. So my question is, how do we develop this? You mentioned service to the guru, but what can you get us some more?
Yes, I was thinking of that. There's a famous verse, Prabhupada would always quote, you know, when he would talk about the importance of surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. And one of it is, most of you will recognize it, Tasmad Guru Papadeta, Tasmad Guru Papadeta, Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam, Shadetadech Nishnatam, Brahma Nupashamashriyam. This is part of the instructions of the nine Yogendras to Maharaj Nini. And there's a little argument. I always wondered about that verse, because it begins with therefore. Tasmat. So therefore is the end of an argument, right? That logic. So what it came before it. And there's three verses, I won't go over them in detail, but basically he's proving there in a very concise way that there's no ultimate happiness or pleasure to be gained in this material world, either on this planet or in the heavenly planets. Therefore, if you want the ultimate good, the Shreya Uttamam, then one has to approach a guru who is, you know, he gives a definition, absorbed in these two aspects of the absolute truth, Shabde, the Shastra, and Brahmani, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also Upashamashriyam, completely detached from material affection. Now the next verse is pertinent to your question, because it says, Tatra Bhagavata Dhanan Shikshi Guravatna Dayagata Amayana Vitya Yais Tushit Atmatma Dohari. This is a really interesting verse. It says there, at the feet of the spiritual master, you know, and one should learn, should be instructed, shikshed, in the Bhagavatama, the process of devotional service. And then this key phrase, which is repeated in another verse about fear, another famous verse of what fear is caused by, Gurvatma Daivita. Gurvatma Daivita is explained as regarding the guru as one's very self and worshipable deity. In other words, it's how you, it's not just we're doing service, but it's your consciousness while doing that and how you regard the guru, the place he has in your life. So really think about it as one's very self and worshipable deity. And then if one does that properly, then the phrase, Amayana Vitya, following, you know, the instructions and doing a service that is amaya, which means free of duplicity, free of any cheating. Then by that kind of service, with that kind of attitude, one will satisfy the Lord, Tushed, the Atma, the Supreme Soul, who's Atma-Atma-da, who gives himself. And he will give himself, Hari, Krishna, will give himself to such a disciple. So it's a question of really introspection and seeing what is our relationship, how do we regard our relationship, and how are we relating ourselves to the spiritual master. And that means accepting the instructions fully, you know, and really, you know, I was thinking about this. What is it that, you know, we're trying to develop? I remember this devotee, everyone, the old timers remember Rupa Nuga. Remember Rupa Nuga? The original Rupa Nuga? He's in Jacksonville. So he was my first temple president back in Brooklyn for a few months, and then others came. And he had this phrase, which is very nice. It's called Krishna conscience. The Krishna conscience. And you know, it's really like you have to develop that Krishna conscience, because the conscience is like this, it's really the super soul, right? But it's really kind of a set of do's and don'ts that you carry. And if you start tempted to do something, no, I can't do that. You know, you have a conscience. You feel bad about doing something, or if you have done something bad. So Krishna conscience means that you imbibe the instructions of Krishna and the instructions of the Guru, and they become your guide. It's like that's your compass for life, you know. And so, but you know, that requires surrender, because let's face it, there's so many things in the Shastra and so many things that Prabhupada said that may be painful, you know, for us to do wholly and fully, you know. And that's part of what the surrender process is to okay, I've got this and this, I'm following this, but this I'm not doing, and I'm doing that, oh no, I shouldn't do that, you know. So to really feel the full surrender means to progress in starting to give up those things that we're still doing, you know, we shouldn't, and starting to accept those things that we know we should do but we still aren't doing it. That's how we progress. And by that activity, one gets more and more affinity for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Okay, we have one lady over here who had a question. Go ahead.
This was a wonderful class. I can listen all day.
Close the problem.
You said Nanda Maharaj is not part of the Yadu dynasty. Isn't he related to Vasudeva?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because that's mentioned also. I was reading that in Vishnu's commentary. Or was it Prabhupada's purport? That Nanda Maharaj is part of the Yadu dynasty, but because he was acting as a Vaishya here, it didn't have the same impact. If Garga Muni had come, you know, from Mathura and performed it, then it would have been obvious. But Vishwanath says, yes, he's part of the Yadu dynasty, but he was acting in such a way as a Vaishya that it wasn't so prominent, and therefore it didn't, you know, alert Kamsa that, you know, the other dynasty is, that Krishna could be part of the other dynasty. But if Garga Muni had performed it, then it would have been clear that, yeah, you know, it all fits in. So that's the way it's explained. But you're right, you know, that is pointed out. He was part of the other dynasty himself. But he wasn't, but he had taken this role of a Vaishya, the cowherd, so it wasn't so prominent. Because the others generally would have chopped you, you know. That's the answer. And one more from Ramana Prabhu, then we should end. Hare Krishna, glorious Prabhupada.
Remember in Mandirabhi when Srila Prabhupada was in Rishikesh, the last days in 77, and one Indian professor, I think, or yogi from the ashram, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Swami, where is any miracle you do or anything like this? And Prabhupada replied, don't you see, I had a lot of Westerners who became Brahmanas. Yeah. As a miracle. Nobody's done this before.
Right.
So, the Brahman initiation is a samskara type, but one of the process of purification. And Prabhupada, few occasions he gave to some devotees the Namakarana initiation, first name,
right.
Usually always like that, right?
Right.
The initiation, the Namakarana, and the Brahma initiation together, and sometimes even Sannyas initiation. So Prabhupada was emphasizing, of course, to surrender to the spiritual master and get initiated.
Right.
Brahma initiation is a type of samskara for the ISKCON.
Yes, Prabhupada's the real father. He's he's acting like, you know, concerned about his children, spiritual children, and give us all these samskaras, if you will, for purification. Okay, it wouldn't be right if I didn't leave you with like one poem. Because it said, the Madurai Samapiate, that one should always end with something really sweet. So here's a nice little sweet poem. It's getting toward the warmer months in July or August. I think we're going to have the Jula Yatra. So you can all remember that nice painting or visualize Radha and Krishna swinging very sweetly near the Yamuna. There's a painting like that. Where blooming flowers spread their sweet perfumes, where clear Yamuna flows and songbirds sing, where all the land a lovely light illumes, Sri Radha and Sri Krishna gently swing. This idol of their love in Braj's bowers forever charms their dearest devotees, whose hearts Sri Krishna's sweetness overpowers, obscuring his prodigious potencies. Whatever in this world we know as love is just a shadow of the love they feel. The wise aspire to learn the secrets of devotion's path and taste that love ideal. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.